Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Drink. We want our souls to be enraptured. They ate manna in the wilderness and they died. But whosoever will eat of this manna will never die. My Father, I am asking of you that of this bread you will give us, that we will not hunger again in the name of Jesus. Tonight I'm praying that you will clarify our thoughts. I pray that you will sharpen our ability to operate in the ecclesia. I pray, Father, that today's teaching will help us as we pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you, our Father, because we pray together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've had the privilege of reading books on prayers, and I've had the privilege of listening to messages on the anointed ministers of God. And the recurring question has always been, why is it that it's not every time that prayers get answered? And we've come with all kinds of reasons. One that was my favorite excuse is that, you know, when you give your life to Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus loves to give you everything. But as you grow older, he started denying you. Doesn't that make sense? So, we have these excuses we give. That why does God not answer prayers? Now, one thing that is getting clearer, this thing is still unfolding, is this concept of the ecclesia, that it has not arrested our consciousness yet. And like I said last week, the concept of ecclesia connotes and carries the understanding of three important concepts. You will be conversant with that because we have a background of the Romans. Hallelujah. But for the Greek perspective, it meant a set of people that exercises judicial and legislative functions. Thank you very much. That is what they are. Then there is another meaning that the Romans have. These are men and women that have ability to alter mindsets. I don't know if you understand me. What can they do? They alter mindset. When the prayer was made, it said, "Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done." We have either to look at it from the perspective of binding, loosening, cast out, but we have not accomplished much because we did not understand much. And so if you appreciate the fact that everything that takes place on earth here is decided before the throne, then you and I will understand how we ought to reorganize ourselves. Hallelujah. Last week, I brought up Sister Biola to help us with certain things. You know, one of the things you must appreciate is that you must understand the protocols of the court. Hallelujah. If you read the whole Bible, most of the time, you will see that many of the activities that take place on earth is basically judicial. I'll give you an example. Today I want to do case studies. Is that okay? Because it will be easier for me to do case studies than to do a kind of a bit of abstract teaching. When God came down in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible recorded that he said something. He said, "Can I do something and I will not tell my friend Abraham?" So, you know what he did? He branched in Abraham's house. And then he now said to Abraham, said, the report of Sodom and Gomorrah has come up to me. People were making allegations against Sodom and Gomorrah. Said, I have come to verify whether those things are so or not. Are you with me? And if they be so, judgment will follow. You know what is happening there? A court session was taking place. But you see, there is this nature of God. He has many. But there is a primary nature of his. He is a judge. You remember when he sits as judge, hallelujah, he judges the whole world. But there's also this aspect of his father's heart that doesn't want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. As bad as they were, he still didn't want to destroy them. So you know what he was doing? He was inviting Abraham to intercede, to petition, to bring forth strong reasons why that nature of judgment will be stayed. The same thing happened in the days of Moses. Said Moses, rise, leave my presence. Said the people you brought out of Egypt has corrupted themselves. Said now leave, so that my anger may arise, may be aroused, and I can destroy them. Look at the words. Leave, so that my anger can be aroused. In other words, he said, if you leave, he was one who said you should go. Yet he was saying that if you go, I will kill them. Double talk, but you must understand it. Two natures were playing out there. The nature of a judge was surfacing, and the nature of a father was surfacing at the same time. And so he invited Moses to start making intercession. But if it will be you and I, or I want to sue me, I'm fed up. I've been waiting for you to say this a long time ago. I thought you should have destroyed them before they left Egypt. Some of us are like that. We would have accused Israel before God and would have destroyed their case. God said, I look for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. I found none. He's always looking for a man to stand in the gap. So what I'm saying tonight is that nothing takes place on earth here except they go and settle it at the place of the throne. The Bible says no man receiveth anything except it is given to him from where? That is a judicial statement. But I want you to see the Bible in a new perspective. Hallelujah. It is not a religious thing. Are you with me? Look, I don't know what to add to say this. The Jewish rituals were religious. Christianity is not religious because there are basically no rituals. I don't know if that makes sense to you. So, if there are no rituals in Christianity, then what is there in Christianity? It's judicial, legislators, and lawyers. And intercessors. What did you think the Bible meant when it said, for he made us to our God both priests and kings? How did they say of Jesus? The Bible says, and he that sat upon the white horse, his name is Faithful. For he goeth to do what? No, it's not judge. But he goeth to judge and to make war. You cannot make war until you have judged. He said, until, look at what Jesus Christ said. He said, when a strong man is in his house, what happens? His goods are safe. He said, until a stronger comes upon him, then he will do what? Spoil his goods. Look for the bind him, then spoil his goods. Are you with me? And take away the armor in which he trusts. You don't understand what is going on there. It's judicial. How can you go in to meet a man who was before you, millions of years before you were born? How can you declare that you are stronger than him? Except there is one who is mightier than him. You don't understand. You see, what Jesus Christ was saying, that before you can enter the strong man's house, you must first obtain judgment against him. If you don't obtain judgment against him, you can't spoil his goods. You don't have any right. Because they said to Jesus, this earth is mine. They gave it to me. And to whomsoever I want to give it to, I will hand it over to. Hallelujah. So if you want to take and spoil his goods, we must obtain judgment first. Everyone must declare him as illegitimate. Now, let us go to Daniel. Let's pick it from 10. 10, 10. And behold, an end touched me, which sat me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, and to chastise thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. What was taking place? What was Daniel doing for 3 weeks? Daniel was speaking in the throne room of God. Daniel was petitioning heaven, because God spoke through Jeremiah, that 70 years were determined for their captivity in Babylon. And 70 years have come and gone, and nothing was happening. Now, you see, for us to appreciate judicial issues, we must understand books. We must understand promises. There was a promise that God was going to visit them after 70 years, and nothing was happening. And so Daniel did not sit back like most of us do. Daniel took the promise and went to the throne and began to lay the petition and said, God, this was what you said. Why have you not done it? Why have you not done it? And for 3 weeks, he was bombarding heaven. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? And that triggered chains of reaction, or chain reaction, or fill in the blank space. Hallelujah. And immediately, Gabriel said, I was dispatched. But the prince of Persia came and withstood me for this number of days. Said, but hear what he said. Can we continue? Verse 13. But the prince of Persia, of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 120 days. But Lord Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 14. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. I said, no doubt, wherefore I have come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. Verse 21. But I will show you thee that what is noted in the scripture of truth, and that there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael thy priest. Now, when he said the prince of Persia was going to be taken, and the prince of Greece was coming, he was speaking that the issue of the kingdom of Persia had been decided. Where was the matter decided? In the courtrooms of heaven. Remember, in the earlier part of his appearance in the scriptures, there was a man called Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that young man? When he stood on that pool, on that high elevated skyscraper of his, he said, is this, looking over the kingdom, he said, is this not the kingdom my hand has built? High Nebuchadnezzar built with my power, my might, and it was boasting. And the Bible says that was a decree that came from heaven. He said, this is the decree of who? Of the watchers. In other words, certain things took place in the courts of heaven, and that was implemented here on earth. So that men may know that the kingdom of God ruleth over the affairs of men. That is the truth. That realm rules over this realm. So whosoever is going to rule as king in this realm must first of all approach that realm first as a priest. Are you with me? Because whosoever cometh to God must come as a priest. When you are turning away from God with judgment, you are coming back as a king. I don't know that. Is that simple enough? This man took petition from the books that 70 years was determined, and it has been finished. And he went to God as a priest to make supplication on behalf of Israel. And when he did that, when the answer came, he was no longer standing as a priest, he was standing as a king. Are you with me? They were telling this was going to befall the nations of the earth. The kingdom of Persia was determined, Greece was coming. And if you know what happened in the days of the son of Nebuchadnezzar and all those, the patriarch, this man was judging nations because they've obtained judgment. What happened in the days of Elijah? When Elijah stood before him, what did he tell him? He said, there shall be no rain upon this land by my word. But he said something very important. He said, before God whom I stand. What was he doing in the presence of God? He was bringing petitions. He was asking for permission to execute judgments. And once they granted him the right to go, nothing was going to stop him. I don't know whether I'm making... This is making sense to you. So when we take promises, you must know what promises are meant for. See, it is true Jesus died for us. It is true Jesus obtained these things for us. But you must go there and take permission. Now, as I said this, there's a difference between authority and power. Do you understand me? That you have the power to carry this chair does not mean you have been authorized to carry it. Can you give me Matthew chapter 7? Let me take it from verse 24. I like that. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Next verse. And the house, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Praise God. Next verse. And everyone that heareth the sayings of man does not do them shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The same rain came, the same floods came, and the same wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. 28. And it came to pass when he had ended the saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. Go to 21. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and driven out demons in your name, and done many mighty works in your name? Verse 23. Then will I say unto them openly, publicly, I never knew you, depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. Another translation said that you acted without authorization. Authorization is a very, very powerful concept in the kingdom. Hallelujah. You cannot act in the earth until you have obtained authorization. People presume to do certain things without authorization. There was a testimony a man of God gave. He said it, but I can't verify it. I've not been able to verify it, but it will convey what I'm trying to say. Praise God. They got a report that somebody was grievously tormented and was sick, and he called two of his other pastors, and they said they drove to the location. And they drove some distance. I think it was about 30 to 1 hour trip. Praise the Lord. And when they got to the location, he said, he parked and put up the engine, he said he heard God speak to him. He said, thou shalt not go in and pray for that person. Does that make sense? Do you think that could have been God? Are you sure it was God? Did God not ask us or tell us, or do we not read from the Bible that just went about doing good, healing those that are oppressed of the devil, because God was with him? And here somebody was tormented, and God said, and somebody, the voice said, thou shalt not go in. Are you with me? Then he told the other pastor, said, this is what I heard. He said, no, it can't be God. We are going in. So he said, sat in his car. And the other mighty men of our Lord went in and prayed and prayed and prayed, and they finished, and they came out, and he drove them back. He said, all of those two died within 2 weeks. One drank poison. Not deliberately. Maybe he was going to drink a cough mixture. Wrong bottle. That's enough. One. I don't remember. It was a very long time story. Now, what exposed them to judgment? They acted without authorization. Authorization is very important in the operation of gifts and even the operation of the power moves of the Spirit. Because if you are not authorized to do something and you do it, why is it that Jesus Christ never healed everybody? He was not authorized. Why do you think he came out of Jericho and he passed blind Bartimaeus? And blind Bartimaeus kept on shouting and he kept going. You think he didn't hear blind Bartimaeus? He heard. But he did not stop because he had not been given permission to act. Immediately the Holy Ghost said, stop. He stopped. And I think there was something that blind Bartimaeus said. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And everyone responded. Before he was like, Jesus! Jesus, he didn't say anything. But when he put the Son of David, he stopped. In other words, there are things he did that he could not have done for other people. See, the reason why Jesus Christ suffered, the major suffering Jesus did, was that he had power to erase the old dead, and they didn't allow him to raise the dead. You don't understand. He had power to heal all the sick. Only just stand in Galilee, and from his mind, he can visualize the whole border of Israel. And say, all the sick in Israel, Sheke Brusaka, be healed. We want to heal. But he could not do that because he was not authorized. So you could imagine you going and that thing is shaking your heart as it can't come. They didn't authorize it. So there was a level of suffering there. Hallelujah. And so it takes a lot to come into the place of control. And that's what they call self-control. Because you cannot carry the seven spirits without self-control. Hallelujah. And so Jesus learned to obey. And so the Holy Ghost said, heal this person, even though the person may not even be a Jew. He said, you're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. We don't give Gentiles these things. It belongs to the children. And the woman said, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. I said, Kai, this faith is too much. Heaven had no choice. So go, yeah, healer. Do you understand? Everything here is not, you don't have power. We have power, but have you been authorized? And before you can get authorization, you must have been in the throne room. What Jesus Christ said, he says, he that goes into the secret place to see my Father, what is the Father will do? He said, the Father will reward him openly. That means you have obtained authorization in the secret place. If you do obtain authorization in the secret place and you step out, you are in your program. Or your big time. I don't know if that makes sense to us. So when we're looking at our nation, we can't make pronouncements until we've obtained permission to make those pronouncements. We can't take the land until we've obtained permission from heaven and say, I have given you the land. Remember, it said to Israel, when Israel was going into the promise, I said, cross over now and take the land, for I have given it. You know what happened? A judgment was passed. A verdict was passed. Israel is the owner of this. Go and take it. I have given you. Praise the Lord. But remember, they passed by the land of, is it Ammon or Moab? He said, don't trouble them, because I've given that land to the sons of Moab. If they attempted to cross into their property, God would not have supported them, because it was not given to them from above. He said, it is what he gives, we gather. If he doesn't give, don't gather. Am I okay? But we can only get by approaching the throne. Praise the Lord. Let me share more case studies here. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. This is the very popular verse we quote. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It was 18 to 19. It was 18 to 19. 18, 19, 20. Very, very, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. You remember, I'm not even about the binding and losing operation. You bind, you lose. You bind, you lose. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I lose you. Amen. Do you know that these concepts are judicial concepts? Binding and losing are similar to contracts. When a contract is sealed, it means it's bound. When a contract is broken, it's loosed. Now, supposing Satan has a legitimate right over this property, he has a contract. Are you with me? He has a contract. You can't come in and take his land. We have a sea of woe here. You can't take and come and build on my land. I have a sea of woe. I have a document. Praise God. And except this document is annulled, which is loose, you can't take possession. I don't know whether I'm making sense. So whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Rather, whatever has been bound in heaven is what you can bind on earth. Oh God. You understand me? Whatever God has bound in heaven is what you can come here and bind on earth. If they've not bound it in heaven, you can't come and bind it too. If it has not been annulled in heaven, you can't come and annul it here. So for example, I can bind my soul to the soul of the Lord. I can bind people. I can put all of you into covenant with the Lord. Amen. But I must obtain permission to be able to do that. That's why the Bible says that, look, they were baptized unto Moses. So once they were baptized to Moses, Moses could do them whatever he pleases. I don't understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? Moses had authority. They have submitted willingly to his authority. Just like my sons, right now, until they marry, they are still under me. Are you with me? Are you with me? The Bible says, if they make a vow, and I wasn't there, or my wife makes a vow, I wasn't there, and she said something very funny, as far as I'm concerned, and I get to hear, I can annul it. You know what I was doing? I'm losing. Once I agree with that vow, I have bound it. Everybody is bound by that vow. It must come to pass. Hallelujah. So when two or three come together to do what? To agree, whether to lose or to bind. Now, this is similar to what she said about witnesses. Do you understand? When there are witnesses, you need two or three witnesses to establish a matter. That is what heaven requires. Two or three witnesses will establish a case. That's why you cannot kill a man if there are no two witnesses. Remember, before Jesus Christ could be crucified, they had to look for witnesses. Not finding any, the high priest said, look, it's enough. I can't need witness. Go and kill him. Praise the Lord. But to kill Stephen, they had more than two witnesses. Say, so we had him in the temple. I blasphemed God and Moses. And they said, let the first witness cast his robe to the floor. And Paul pulled off his jacket. I don't know what the jacket. I don't know what he was wearing. But they said, pulled off whatever he was wearing and cast it to the ground. To tell that I'm witnessing against the soul that I blaspheme God. And others cast their craven. And so, if they were wrong, they were guilty of blood. Are you with me? But if they are not wrong, they would have been validated by heaven. Because their witnesses are true. I don't know what I mean. So when two of you agree, you come into agreement. In other words, you are standing as a witness over a fact. For example, it is written, weapon fashion against you shall prosper. We both know it. So in agreement, based, we are witnessing that scripture is true. We can approach heaven. I said, we demand judgment based on this. So God said he will do it. Am I making sense? So, for example, to say, God, give me a career, they will ask you, what is your peculiar interest? Are you the son of Ishoi? Abi is your father the... What exactly? What is it? What is your own? The princes will ask, what is your own? You are just a visitor, just came to do NYC. What is your problem? So he can't give you a career. You understand? Even though the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but you don't have any interest. So what argument will you present before the judge? Give me a career. There was a man called this Scottish man, John Knox. You know how long he prayed? You do know the prayer John Knox prayed for years. He said, there was this only prayer that came out. He said, we just keep quiet. He said, just hear him. Give me Scotland or I die. Give me Scotland or I die. And he was praying like that for years. Heaven gave him Scotland. By his word, nobody went out and nobody came in. He ruled. His mere presence drove demons away. Not demons, it was driving powers out of heavenness. The Queen of England said, is this the Queen of England? Said she feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Scotland. The Queen of Scotland said she feared John Knox more than all the armies of England. England was a very terrible power there. They used to oppress those guys. It's like Togo said they fear woman's prayer more than the whole army of Nigeria. Better than the Kereto. Are you with me? But a man obtained judgment. And heaven gave him. But you must have a reason. You must have a case before you can make that demand. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether I'm making sense to us tonight. We must have reasons. So the Bible says, come with your strong reasons. Come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason. It is God speaking. Now, remember, I don't know. I hope this is making sense though. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 6. Remember that. What happened in Isaiah chapter 6? The Bible says in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord. Where was he sitting? Every time you find him sit on the throne, a judge is sitting. He's not there as your father. He's not there as your brother. He's there as judge. Are you with me? Let's continue with the story. He was high and lifted up. Now, what does that tell you? He said, look, it was exalted above all. And he came to an understanding that this is supremacy. It's higher than the kings of the earth. It was high and it was lifted up. And his whole train filled the whole temple. Let's continue. No. I'm not interested in the angels tonight. Verse 3. No. I said, I'm not interested in the angels. Just go to the discussion. No, 5. Then I said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean people. For my eyes have seen the Lord. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of the hosts. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs of the altar. Verse 7. And he laid upon my mouth and said, Lord, this has touched thy lips, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Hallelujah. Then verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, who shall I send? Verses 1 to 5. Isaiah sent himself. The man be prophesying from chapter 1. Go and read the book of Isaiah. Terrible cause. Whoa! 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 All of you, whoa! Was a prophet of woe. But when we now know that God didn't send him. He sent himself. Hallelujah. God said, who will I send? And who will go for us? Then said, I am. Send me. So we know he was not sent. Look, you can preach the gospel without being sent. You can do many things without being sent. God will have mercy. Now hear this. So go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Verse 10. Make the heart of those people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Next verse. It's interesting. Then I said, Lord, how long? How long will this condition continue? Because he understood what was going on. Because the more he tried to open their eyes, the more their eyes would be shutting down. It was a judgment. God was condemning them to destruction. Can you get the people have been exposed? They are doing revelation. And the more you get the revelation, the more you are confused. You come in more confused. You leave one confused that you came in. And yet the man was sharing truth. Man, you're anointed. No concern, nonsense. Many people are fulfilling this without realizing. Because God was priming them for destruction. So unless they see, unless they hear, unless their heart understands, then they get converted and healed. That is the principle of the New Testament. That you will see, you will hear, you will understand, then they will heal you. But people want miracles before they hear and see and understand. I said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That's how long it goes. But you see, that thing spanned even till today. They are still being desolate because the judgment was obtained. Now, it will take another man to stand and reverse this. Listen to me. Jacob looked at his sons, specifically three sons of his, Reuben, Simon, and Levi. He looked at them, and more or less he cursed them. He cursed Reuben, because Reuben slept with his concubine. Levi and Simon, because in their anger, they slew a whole city. Two men enter Akure from morning till night on the empire in law. Now, at a particular point, your heart will say, Abba, the one we have killed, don't do. The one we don't try, maybe we go back home. No. Their anger was sustained for a whole day, and they were killing. Say, cause their anger. Said they will be divided in Israel. That was a patriarch that spoke. When he was speaking from the throne room. He took another patriarch in Moses to pray and said, God, that day I beg. I want Gami lo soro. I want Gami and Fadans me lo soro. I want Jacob. But Ejo, let Reuben live and not die. The matter took place in the throne. You must go back there and undo it. The problem of Nigeria was decided there in the throne. We are going to change it, we must go back there and obtain judgment to free this country. We are going to free Nigeria. We are going to free Ondo State from this Mimiko. We must go back there and obtain judgment against him. We are going to free men from bondages of darkness. We must go back there and ask for their lives. But I want to say this. I want to conclude with this, with two examples. Hallelujah. I have so many here, but I don't know. I've never gone into Hebrews. I will go into Hebrews next week, God helping me. If God permits me. Let us look at the story of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. I'm going to have to read that first. I also want to read the story of Daniel. I'll still go back to Daniel, chapter 7. And it came to, no. Okay, and it came to pass when I heard these words. Now, what did Nehemiah hear? The Bible says that he heard about the condition of Jerusalem. It was horrible. It was terrible. It was bad. And like many of us, what do? We just simply complain. Now, this is what I want to say to us before I proceed. Every day you hear news. Am I talking to us? Is it not true? I don't know what you heard tonight, today. Or maybe you're talking about Pastor, I and Pastor were discussing. And some pastors are very terrible. Hallelujah. But usually that's where our discussion ends. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Usually that's how we react. And I just did that today too. Praise the Lord. So don't feel you are the baddest guy in town. I'm also like that. Hallelujah. We are the same, we are the pedestrian. But when this man heard about the condition of the church, the Bible says, what did he do? He wept. I want to pray that God will give us this kind of heart. Because you see, we cannot take this city. We don't have the kind of heart these people had. The kind of priests that will obtain verdicts are not the arrogant priests. They are not the priests who are well packaged. They are the priests who can be touched by the feelings of men's infirmities. Do you understand me? Now, listen to me. It's not just men's infirmity. There was a pain in the heart of God, but people were not picking it up. There was a pain in his heart. God did not like the condition of Jerusalem, but nobody was talking. Nobody was praying. Nobody cared. And so he left Jerusalem and was watching. But when, God, there's no story in Nehemiah's case that we heard that God said, Nehemiah, I need an intercessor. Can you be my intercessor? I need you to intercede for Israel. Hallelujah. Say, you do it. Say, I will do it. Then he said, like, God has called me. Hallelujah. There's no such call. But in the whole book of Nehemiah, there is nowhere he said, and the Lord said unto Nehemiah, thus saith the Lord. Nehemiah entered the eternal books because of attitude. He could pick the heart of God and feel the pain of God and responded to that pain. We need that kind of heart. And the Bible says, and when I heard it, what did I do? He said, I sat down and wept. They might not be a small boy, oh. Now, frugal man, oh, will be a bed like my own. Praise the Lord. And mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Let us look at his prayer. Verse 5. And I said, I beseech thee, the Lord, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant, and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandment. Where was he quoting from? Anybody, can you guess? He was quoting the scripture. He was quoting somewhere. No, he was not quoting Psalms, Pastor. Do you remember the time Moses said to God, he said, I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't see my glory, but I will hide you in the cleft and I will pass before you. And that's when God came down and passed. He began to declare his name. Say, the Lord merciful, that shows mercy to a thousand generations. And will no way acquit the wicked. He was quoting from there. Are you with me? So, do you know how to carry promises? Carry his word and go and give it to him. Not go back, but he wants to know whether you know. Abi, when you're quoting to judge, is it because he doesn't know law? No. They just want to know whether you know what you are saying. Hallelujah. So when he was making this confession, he was speaking from a place of knowledge. And I was saying somewhere today, I said, look, the church has a problem. For the problem is that many believers have remained believers. We are yet to grow to become knowers. God does not. See, you start with belief. For example, I tell you, we throw this thing up. It can suspend. Do you believe? He said, I believe. But can you explain how? He said, I don't know, for that way to God. But God wants you to also know that you understand how it operates. Praise the Lord. He said, can these bones live? He said, that way to God. You need to know. That's why Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know. The church needs to come to the place of knowing. Hallelujah. That's by the way. Next verse. Let thy hear now be attentive, and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we How many of them? All of us. I see the gazing. Both I and my father's house have seen. What was he doing? He was identifying with them. Because if you don't identify, you cannot represent them. So when you're talking about Akure, God give me Akure, they will ask, what is the basis for you praying for Akure? You have to find a link. You must identify with Akure in such a way that they cannot fault that agreement. So you have a local study. I mean, my mama, they call local study. What's your local study for bringing the suit? You have one. So it is I and my people we have sinned against you. So I'm also involved. I'm a participant in this thing. So whatever you're going to do for me, you must do also for Israel. Remember what Moses said to God. He said, God, if you will not forgive Israel, remove my name from the book of life. What was he doing? He was identifying with Israel. So we need to come to that place of identification for us to be very, very effective. You can read the rest on your own. Praise the Lord. Take me to Daniel chapter 7, verses 1. God has so much I want to say. Hallelujah. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of the head upon his bed. And when he wrote down the dream, he told the sum of the matters. Jump to verse 10. It's a long verse. He said, and I beheld. Now, before we got here, there was a scene that was playing out in the throne, in heaven. He said, I beheld certain things were playing out in heaven. He was speaking about certain beasts. I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. They said that to represent England, but that's not my issue. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and his man's heart was given to it. Next verse. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it was raised upwards itself on one side, and there are three ribs in the mouth of it, between it and the teeth of it. And they said, thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. Oh yeah. And after this, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given to it. And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 8. And I considered the horns. Pay attention. And behold, there came up from among them another small horn, before whom three were. There were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did what? His seat, whose garment was like white as wool, snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000, Pastor, please let me get the solution to that, stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. Next verse. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. 12. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. 13. I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. 14. And there was given him what? Dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. How did Jesus obtain a more excellent name than they? He it was a judicial pronouncement. And he gave him a name which is above all names. It was a judicial pronouncement. That in all realms of creation, when that name is mentioned, knees must bow. And when that command went out, you see, God does not need to come around to enforce it. Do you understand? How did I understand it from the book of Angels and Assignment? When the man mistakenly said Jesus, the ninjas around him went on their knees immediately. It's a building default position. Once that name is mentioned, everything in creation responds to it. Knees must bow. So the judicial pronouncement, once it was gone, that the proceeded from God's mouth, it cannot return void. Hallelujah. So I want us to understand that when we step into the courtroom of heaven, like the Bible says, it said in Hebrews chapter 12, said we have not come to a man that can be taught, we have come to this, to Mount Zion and all those things. These are witnesses at different levels. Hallelujah. That is where we hold court. Court sessions takes place there. Hallelujah. So where two or three gather together in my name, that means a judicial court is in progress. What are two or three people doing? They are taking legislative and judicial functions or decisions. So when we come together and we are talking, there's a place in, was it Malachi or somewhere in the Old Testament? He said, and when two people were talking, he said, and the Lord took notes. Malachi, thank you. What were they talking? They were talking about decisions. You know, men have a pastor. Mimiko must go. Oh my Lord. Now, only that be already. But we have come into agreement. You just find that the people in the house will start fighting him. Allah will just burst. But because we've not come into that place where we can exercise such dominion. It was Bishop Oedipo that said something that was very frightening many years ago, but I don't think it was Bishop. It didn't start with him. It started with that Bishop Idahosa. They took Idahosa to court. Bad move. Several members of his church also took him to court. I don't know whether it was members of his church or some crazy guys in Benin. If I think all of the seven died within a week. Which he said we're going to, this one I remember very well. They said they're going to have meeting in Benin, World Council of Witches, and the federal government had given them permission to meet in Benin. They also not the one lying, I mean, they also in this place. Oh, be your lying here. We will know who rules here. We will know who is which among the 12 of us. It was not easy. But the meeting, I don't know what happened. His name scattered. The witches couldn't convey. They couldn't converge to meet. Principality is talking. Principality is talking. Who born both of you together? This is Dahosa. When Buhari took over power, Buhari and Jack took over power, they banned open air preaching. They banned open air preaching. Dahosa said, because you banned it, I'm going to start doing open air preaching. The first place he went to was Port Harcourt. The permission of process, you have been banned, you cannot do it. Colonel Epo said, this is Idahosa. They will just use it for sacrifice. Just use your head to do sacrifice. Send me a note, man, no dead hell. Let him go and do his crusade. Buhari them didn't do jack. The man did his crusade and went. Nobody else, all of us, even Bishop, we don't go. He said, Idahosa. God bless his good soul. So, what am I saying? I think we need to begin to appreciate the necessity. Not just pray because we have to pray. Not pray because we must pray long hours. There are things that may require long hours. Praise the Lord. But basically, we must understand that nothing will shift on this earth if we don't have it shifted there. Is imperative. We will not go forward. Please listen again as I bring this to a final close. Peter and John went back to their home. You remember, they reported what has happened. And what the Bible says happened, they lifted up their voice in one accord and they cried to God. And they asked for only one thing, that he should give them what? Power. That they may exercise the authority in the name of Jesus to heal, to deliver, and to do more miracles than they've ever done before. And how did God respond from heaven? An earthquake. The Bible said when the world was shaking, there was an earthquake all around the whole place. But we did not read that they ran out of the house. If you have been in a place where there's an earthquake, my goodness, you will run. This land ground that you call ground, you will find that it's like standing on water. It will not be stable again. You will run. If you ever had the experience, I've not had it too, but the one I've seen on film, it's not pleasant at all. You will be scared out of your wits. You will be scared. But they were not scared. The Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody was shaking, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went out of that place. They were doing fantastic things. What did they obtain? They obtained judicial permission to carry on. Even the threat of death, they were not afraid of it. The reason why we are afraid is that we have not obtained permission to act here on earth. They said to the seven sons of Sceva, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? Paul has been given permission to operate, but who gave you permission to talk? So let us appreciate every moment we spend approaching the throne. Praise the Lord. The Bible says we come with what? With boldness to the throne, but to obtain what? Mercy. You are standing there first and foremost as a priest. Then to now demand for grace, which is a doing thing, is a different ballgame. Amen. Everything on earth operates by the principle of the throne. The throne is what commands everything. It rules over the affairs of men. And he who can wield authority in the courtroom of heaven wields authority in the realms of men. That's the truth. We can't dodge it. No amount of revelation will change that. No amount of angelic operation will change that. No, there's nothing you and I can teach you revelation till kingdom come. If you don't have what it takes to approach the throne and obtain judicial judgment, you have wasted your time. So let us cultivate it. Let us find it. Let it become our habit of going. Say, come, but keep on coming, keep on coming. In Jokon, you will understand the ropes. Next week, by God's grace, I will show you these principles in the book of Hebrews.
It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pgtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Foot and South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pgtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you.